If we could now bring into this conversation your second subject, which was the famines, and in particular the Holodomor in Ukraine, I'm curious in your assessment, because your first subject begins at 1901, by 1931, 32, 33, Stalin's application of this policy, the forced famine, did that represent a certain evolution or change in his particular political view, or was this a pretty natural, let's say, next step in terms of what he saw as a long-term solution?
No, I would say the things are related, but in a different way. That is, clearly Stalin, from this point of view, was not a classic Marxist. Stalin understood that, I am using his words, that the peasants were the guardian of nationality. This is Stalin speaking in the 1920s. And he also thought, and this is again Stalin speaking, that the peasants, that the national question was a peasant question in, let's call them, oppressed nationalities. That is where the mass of the nations was, you know, constituted of peasants. And that without a powerful peasant basis, these nationalities had no strength. He, during the Civil War, again, he had learned that, of course, peasant armies could be used by the communists. They used them in Russia, they used them in Ukraine in 1919. Then, of course, they had these peasant armies revolt against them in 1919, 1920, Ukraine. So I think that Stalin, since you asked the connection, Stalin understood both the strength and the danger, the strength in the sense the possibility of using the peasant liberation movement, the peasant-based national liberation movement, and the danger if this peasant-based national liberation movement turned against the regime. So he had a two-pronged approach, either favoring if they could be used or harshly repressing if they constituted a danger. Now, to go to the famine directly, I think that at the beginning, when they tried to implement collectivization, as you well know, there were large revolts in 1930, especially in Ukraine. And from the OGPU, the Political Police Reports, he learned that this revolt had been stronger precisely in the same villages where revolts had been very strong in 1919-1920. By the end of 1930, he thought that the war against the peasants had been won in Ukraine as well. There were self-delusions about it. There was a good crop, so they thought that collectivization, you know, had been victorious. The problem is this was not true, that the peasants all over the Soviet Union, not just in Ukraine, but particularly in Ukraine, in the Kuban, in the Northern Caucasus, did not accept collectivization. Actually, they called it second serfdom, as we know from Political Police reports of those days. And, you know, the peasants were working less and less. The crops were falling. The Soviet Union had embarked in an industrial program, so they had to export grain to earn valuta, also to repay foreign loans, German loans specifically. When in 1932, when the situation started to be very bad, also in economic terms, the peasants really clearly were not producing as much as the state wanted, Stalin started to believe that the peasants were a real threat to the survival of the regime. In particular in Ukraine, and this we know for sure because we have his letters to Kaganovich and to other leaders, he thought that the party, the Ukrainian Communist Party, was abetting the peasants, was siding with the peasants, because there had been already minor pockets of famine, and it's true that the Communist Party leaders were protesting. And so Stalin, by the summer of 1932, started to develop what has been called the national interpretation of the crisis, of the famine, let's call it this way. That is, he was imputing the crisis in agriculture to the machinations of both the peasants that resisted collectivization and the Communist Party of Ukraine that was, you know, secretly, let's put it this way, supporting them. When the crisis reached the peak in the fall, I think, he decided at that point, coldly, to use the famine to break the peasant basis of the national Ukrainian movement. So I think this is how the Holodomor came about. I would say that the Holodomor is a specific famine, killing, mass killing famine, within a larger Soviet context of difficult condition and local famines that goes from 32 to 33, 34 actually. But it is a specific killing famine, killing, we know, about 4 million people. It's difficult to data are always very, figures are very imprecise, but I would say the order of magnitude is that one, in a few months, because Stalin decided to turn that famine in a tool to break the peasant as peasants and as carrier, you know, guardian of nationality in Ukraine. And this you see very clearly, because already in December, 1 month later, they decided to use the famine against the peasants, a famine that had come about because of their policies, but they didn't at the beginning foresee. I would say you see that they are also reversing all the Ukrainization policies only in Ukraine. In the other republics, they continued. They are going after the teachers, the middle cadres in the Ministry of Education. They are repressing the intelligentsia. So actually, I would say that this is a twofold operation against both the peasant and the intelligentsia and the political elite and middle cadre emerging in Ukraine to solve, in quotation mark, of course, the Ukrainian problem as a danger to the power, to the Soviet power. And just to finish, I think from this point of view, they were very successful, of course, given the fact that they were ready and willing to kill so many million people.